Today on Life Talk.
The same God that blessed you then and healed you then and delivered you then and broke through for you then is with you now in this room in your life. Don't say yesterday was better than today, because the same God that did it then can do it now.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Life Talk. I'm Jeff Wickwire, and thank you so much for joining us this time. Today, we're continuing the series, Encouragement for Discouraging Times. You know, I don't know about you, but I need to be encouraged. Encouragement is like oxygen. You can't live long without it. But what do you do when no one is around to encourage you? And even worse, the only voices you're hearing are negative and critical. Perhaps today you find yourself in just such a negative, critical environment where if you don't encourage yourself, there's not going to be any encouragement at all. Well, stay tuned, for the Bible provides the keys we need to know how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. So let's go right to part two of the message, How to Encourage Yourself.
Today I want to talk about how to encourage yourself. You'd be amazed how important that is, that you and I know how to encourage ourselves, because you know, you talk to you more than anyone else on the planet. So it matters what you say to you. And David's really going to teach us that. So Psalms 42, verse 5. I want you to read this with me because it's very brief, but it's a great question to ask yourself. Are you ready? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help, salvation of my countenance and my God. That says God is the author of the smile on your face. He's the salvation of your countenance. God can do for your countenance what Max Factor cannot. God can, all right? So I know that I'm talking to people who have something that the world does not. And that is God. God is an encourager. He gives hope. And hope means you wake up and you've got a confident expectation that something good is coming your way, because you know God and God holds your future. But nevertheless, the fact remains that Christians can really experience spiritual warfare and can go through some things that if we're not careful, we will really sink into the mire of despair. Now, in the psalm that we read, King David had some very, very troubling times going on in his own life, and he experienced seasons like this several times that we read about in the scriptures. So we find in Psalms 42 and 43 the exact same conversation that David had with himself, written three times in two psalms, almost word for word. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? So David's talking to himself. He's conversing with himself. And David wrote this particular psalm in a very, very trying time in his life. His own son Absalom had committed mutiny and was attempting to overthrow him and steal the kingdom away from his own father. Overnight, David's life changed. His position as king came under severe attack. Everything he knew, everything God had given him, was on the line. The Bible tells us the conspiracy against him was strong. That's the way it words it. The handsome and charismatic Absalom had stolen the hearts of the children of Israel, where the Bible says he had stolen half of the hearts of the kingdom. David, tucked away in his castle and tucked away in his own little world, did not realize that Absalom was down at the gate And he was flattering the people and complimenting the people and asking them, what can I do for you? And if only I were king, I would do this and I would do that. And he was using his charisma and using his ability to persuade to steal away their hearts. It was very, very sinister. And there is a spirit of Absalom. And that spirit of Absalom seeks to undermine the authority that God has established. And it uses charm and it uses persuasion. And it happens in churches all the time. That's why some of you went through a church split. There was an Absalom spirit in that church. And it undermined what was going on. A messenger ran to David one day with a chilling news flash. Quote, the hearts of the men of Israel, David, are with Absalom. And this just sent an arrow right straight through his spirit. Because he found out that many of his most trusted advisors and confidants had defected and sided with his rebel son. He lost good friends. He lost people he'd gone to church with, people that he had known for years and fellowship with, turned against him. Unbelievably, when you read this, you got to stop and think what you're reading. The killer of Goliath and the hero of Israel suddenly finds himself on the run from his own flesh and blood. And the Bible says he fled to the forest for protection with a handful of still faithful men with him. And we see that Absalom didn't want to just capture him. Absalom didn't want to bring him back in chains. Absalom, his own son, wanted to kill him, wanted to destroy him. King David's future was so uncertain at this point that he uttered these words, I go, I know not where. Ever felt that way? I go, I know not where. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it, that being the kingdom, and his dwelling place. But if he says, I have no delight in you, here I am, let him do to me as seems good to him. David is saying, I'm casting myself upon the mercies of God. Whatever God does in the middle of this, I'm trusting him. I trust his providence. I trust his sovereignty, and I'm laying everything down at his feet. At this lowest of low points, David had lost his kingdom, his home, his friends, his son, and this is when he penned the words, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you agitated within me? Well, you know, I want to say, well, I see why you're cast down, and I sure see why you're agitated. You see, we're dealing with a man who had an incredible relationship with God, especially in light of the fact that this was Old Testament. He hadn't even experienced Pentecost or the cross or the blood, but he knew the Lord. And here the psalmist was feeling the weight of his trials like some of you are feeling today. You're feeling the weight of your trials. Like Job of old, his troubles seemed relentless, falling like ominous dominoes. Here comes another one, and uh-oh, there comes another one, and here comes another trouble, and it seemed like a band of robbers all at once had seized on his life. Great sadness flooded his soul. Wave after wave of grief swept over him. You ever felt that way? I have felt that way sometimes in my life, enough to know that I don't ever want to go there again. In verse 7, he refers to the waves of affliction, and he calls them, talking to God, your waves, your breakers, your waterfalls. He felt like one wave was calling and inviting another wave to come and beat on him. But David understood something that carried him through. He understood that nothing could touch his life. I want you to hear this today. Nothing could touch his life without divine permission, and all that touched his life would be kept under a divine check and achieve divine purposes. That's why Paul said in Romans 8:28, he said, everything that happens to me, good, bad, ugly, are going to work together for my good because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. In other words, God's got this. I may be in hell, but God's got this. It may look bad, but God's got this and God's got me. And I believe it was his understanding of the sovereignty and the providence and the power of God over all the circumstances of life that kept him sane and kept him together and kept him in one piece. He told himself, God's in charge. I trust him in the storm. Let me tell you, here's what I see. Three things. First, he asked himself a question. He talked to himself. He said, oh, my soul. He talked to his soul. Hey, soul, I'm talking to you. He said, he asked himself a question. And the question was, why are you cast down? Listen, in a trial, the very first person to focus on is you. I'm going to say that again, because some of you are in a trial, and you're looking here and there and everywhere, but the very first person to focus on in a trial is you, getting your faith right, finding your peace, fixing your focus on Jesus, and getting your eyes off the wind and the waves. The first person to deal with in a trial is yourself. Now, on top of that, I see a second lesson, and it's this. When trials come, take a chill pill. Chill. When you're in the middle of a storm, here's what David said, dude. He said, be still and know that I am God. First thing you do when you're in a trial and you want to encourage yourself is get still, still, get still. Be still and know that I am God. That means be still and know that I'm God. And because I'm God, I've got it and I've got you and I'm greater than any storm you're going through. Listen to the Amplified. Let go. Relax, knowing that I am God. I'm just picturing, plump, I just took a psalm pill. Let go. Let go of your problem. Let go of the storm. Let go of your difficulties. Give them to God and relax. In our vernacular, chill. Knowing that I'm God. Now I got a Pastor Jeff version. I want you to say it with me. Here's the Pastor Jeff version. Ready? Get still. Chill. And take a psalm pill. And that's Dr. Wickwire's RX for you today. Let's just try that one more time. Some of you need to get it. Are you ready? Get still. Chill. And take a psalm pill. It's not as bad as it looks.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
The Psalms peacefulize us with promises like this one. Weeping may endure for a night. Yeah, you may be weeping. It may look dark. It may be difficult. You may be in the middle of a major trial. But joy comes in the morning. Psalms 30, verse 5. And I like this one. Cast your burden onto the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. What a great, great antidepressant psalm pill. But here's the way. Now notice he says, cast your care onto the Lord. Let me show you how some of you do that. You cast your care on the Lord, and then you make like a fisherman. You're reeling it back in 5 minutes. Lord, I give you this problem. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Kumbaya. And 5 or 10 minutes later, here it comes right back. And God says, I thought you gave it to me. I did. But I took it back. You know how you cast something onto the Lord? I cast this care upon you, Lord, and you cut the line. Cut it. And you leave it there. I love that. One of my favorite psalms is this one. I memorized this one. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now let me read the Living Bible, because that's what you're wondering. What am I quoting? I quoted the New King James. Listen to this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair. Can we read that together? He lifted me out of the pit of despair. Say it again. He lifted me out of the pit of despair. That's what God does. Out from the deep mud and set my feet on a hard, firm path and steadied me. He steadied me. He steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing of praises to our God. And you're going to be singing so loud when God delivers you out that many are going to look at you and fear and trust in the Lord because of what he did in your life. Yes. Yes. Amen. So notice, first he questioned himself. Why are you cast down? And then he commanded himself. He said to his soul, hope thou in God. You know what that means? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Hope thou in God. Wait on the Lord. He's going to move on your behalf. Give it time. Hope thou in God, not in yourself, not in people, not in circumstances to change. Hope thou in God. In God. Now, if you're like me, you don't like the word wait. Some of you, when you hear the word wait, you break out in hives because you don't like to wait. But here's the way I've always been. I want an immediate response from God because I don't like waiting. Let me tell you about me. I'm a very patient man until I have to wait. My problem has so often been I'm in a hurry and God isn't. You know, I look back over my walk with the Lord. It's been a long time. Almost never has my timing been his timing. There's things I'm experiencing now I thought that I was going to experience when I'm 40. And now that I'm 45, they're finally 45 and some change. I'm seeing things now that I thought were going to happen a long time ago. But God has his timing. And so let me tell you what he'll do. God sometimes parks us on purpose. He puts our lives on hold so that we can learn to encourage ourselves while quietly hoping in him. Because he knows that knowing how to encourage yourself is a major tool in spiritual victory and in spiritual growth. Knowing how to wait on God. Chuck Swindoll wrote, true patience is waiting on God without worrying. I'm having to wait. I don't understand why I'm having to wait. Boy, I've been waiting a long time. My bus sure hadn't come in. My plane sure hadn't taken off. Here I wait, Lord. But you know what? I trust you, and I trust your character. I trust the integrity of your character and that you've got it. And though I don't understand, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, but I'm going to trust you with my whole heart. And when your time comes, it will come. David was so good at this. David got really good at this. When he was in another major trial, it says David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And if you know the Bible history, you know that he was at a point where he was steps away from becoming king. He had no idea when this situation was happening that Saul was being killed in a battle and he was about to step into the throne of the kingdom of Israel. He had no idea. No idea. But here he was. His men are talking about stoning him. It couldn't have looked worse, but David looked within himself. He grabbed hold of the tools of his trade. He knew how to encourage himself, and he encouraged himself, and the Lord his God stood up, led those men that had been angry at him into a battle, won the battle, got all of his stuff back from the enemy, and then found out, you're king now. It literally was darkest. Just before the dawn, he said, Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord, my God. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you, Psalms 39:7. One of my favorites here, Psalms 27:13. I would have lost heart. I would have fainted, given up, put up the white flag, unless I had believed. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, he says. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Boy, good advice. David is reminding himself that one way or another, God's going to break through and he's not going to be left alone. He says, for I will yet praise him for his help. I love that word, yet. It's dark now, but I will yet praise him. I don't see any way out, but he will yet make a way out of this for me. I don't know which way to turn, but he will yet break through and speak direction into my life. There is a yet there, and I love that yet. It means I'm in trouble now, but God's not finished yet. I'm in a tough place, but God hasn't broken through yet. I'm about to see God give me a divine yet. I'm going to break through and see the other side. Amen. You know, the middle of a trial is like the middle of a book. The author hasn't finished the story yet. So give him time. So say with me, he questioned himself when doubting God. He commanded himself to hope in God. And the last thing he did, he reminded himself of the past goodness of God. If you go back just one verse, it says that David is encouraging himself by calling up the memories of his past in God. Listen to him. This is out of the Living Bible. Verse 4. Take courage, my soul. Do you remember those times? But how could you ever forget them? When you led a great procession to the temple on festival days, singing with joy, praising the Lord. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, remember all those great times you had in church? Do you remember all those great times you had in God? Remember the great blessings of God he poured out on you, the victories he gave you, the healing he showed you? Do you remember those times? Remember the fellowship? Remember the joy? Remember the defining God moments that made lifelong memories? You know, I can look back and I can remember when God moved in mighty and powerful ways and totally changed my life. I remember fellowshipping with the saints, friendships that I made that have lasted a lifetime. I can look back on things that God did. You know, there's some things we should forget and never remember again. We should not recall offenses, those times we were hurt, those times we were betrayed, those times when people turned on us and stabbed us in the back and hurt us. We should not recall that. We should not rehearse that. We should not fellowship with that. But we should recall the good times and the mighty times and the powerful times we had in God. That's why the Bible says, forget not all his benefits. The message is, remind yourself of what God has done in times of trial, because the same God that blessed you then and healed you then and delivered you then and broke through for you then is with you now in this room in your life. Don't say yesterday was better than today. Don't sing that song, those were the days, my friend. I thought they'd never end. Don't sing that song, because the same God that did it then can do it now. If we will trust him and look to him. You know, Pastor Jeff, I'm so beat up by life and I just feel so down. Talk to yourself. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? You know better than this. I've learned to doubt my doubts when I'm doubting God. When a doubt comes and says, Jeff, God's let you down. God is not hearing your prayer. I doubt that doubt. I doubt anything that questions the character and the integrity of God and what my Bible tells me about God. And some of you need to doubt your doubts today. You need to look at your doubt and say, you know what, doubt? I doubt it. I doubt it. Oh, I kind of know you're thinking, I don't know if God's going to come through for me. Doubt that. I don't know if God's hearing my prayer. Doubt that. I don't know if God's going to do this, that, or the other. Doubt that. Because my Bible tells me God is a prayer answering God, and I need to believe what the Bible says about him. After David reminded himself of the past blessings and fellowship and goodness of God, he wrote, why then be downcast? Why be discouraged and sad? Hope in God. I will yet praise him. Yes, I shall again praise him for his help.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.